Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Hallelujah. We're going to just have a moment to pray together. You can be seated if you like. We've got all these cards here from our Beyond offering. The pledges are coming in beautifully. Thank you so much for participating in this. And we're asking those that are still planning to join in this offering to do so. We'd like to announce the total by Thanksgiving. So we'll have, I believe, some great news come Thanksgiving time. So get your pledges in. You'll have a chance at the end of the service here. But we're giving you an opportunity to register your prayer needs, and scores of them. I've been going over these and reading and praying, and I'm impressed with how many of them are for families. You know, we love our families. And when there's pain in our family, boy, it really affects us. When there's a marriage problem, or particularly a child, a grandchild, somebody who's hurting, sick, away from God, it really captures our heart. And we just say, Lord, we need a breakthrough in our family. And so today, we're going to pray over all these cards. We're going to pray over your requests as well. But today, can we pray for families? Whether you filled out a card or not, we believe that God sees the need, and He has a plan, and He's working in your family. Let's pray together. Father, we just come before you now, lifting up all of these cards, Lord, especially those, God, that represent hurting families, broken marriages, backslidden children, people who need a breakthrough in their family life. We just ask, Lord, that you would cancel the works of darkness, Lord. We come against the work of the enemy to divide and to hinder and to ensnare, Lord, our families. Lord, we loose the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. We agree as a church family, Lord, that every one of these needs will be met, and that, Lord, you will touch every last one of our families and our marriages, Lord, and you will do miracles, Father, in our home life, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and our siblings, Lord, our parents, our cousins, Lord, our children, our grandchildren. Do miracles, Lord. Release your power into the family, Lord. And let, Lord, this season be a season of miracles for families. We believe you. We trust you. Thank you for the Beyond offering, Lord. Lord, just work and supply everything that's needed for this offering, Lord, and have your way as we seek, Lord, not just to be a church watching it happen, but we seek to be a church helping to make it happen, to be a part of what's happening. So, Lord, connect us with the harvest and let us make our contribution to the body of Christ. We praise you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to thank my friends on the worship team for their great work and what they're doing. Thank you, guys. Beautiful. I want to begin with a praise report just as we get ready to go into the message. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, it's been a busy few weeks down here with our conference and with Vision Sunday and everything that's been going on here. Wonderful things going on. But meanwhile, while all that was happening, our campus in Santa Rosa was really struggling. You guys heard about the fires up there. And I want to bring you a good report. If you didn't hear about this, our building, which is located, now remember, the ground zero for the fire in Santa Rosa was a neighborhood called Coffee Park. Our Santa Rosa campus address is 3350 Coffee Lane. And our building is standing today. It was spared in the fires, probably a block and a half, and our campus pastors and our whole staff, all of their homes were spared. And today, actually, that fire, I think this is the third Sunday that they were out three Sundays. I think this is the fourth Sunday since the fire, if I have it right. And today, they're back in the building because the building was in a quarantine zone. It was such a disaster area that they blocked it off, even though the building was standing. And so I'm really grateful. And those of you that were giving over the last several weeks, your gift made a big difference. We were able to send almost $2,000 in aid for some families up there that were affected. One couple in particular, she's a housekeeper, and her clients all of her clients' homes burned down. So instantly, she's out of work. So we're rushing some aid there and to a few others that are in need. But thank you very much for your generosity. And keep praying for the campus up there, because it's like a trauma. It's like a shock what these people have gone through. Everybody up there knows somebody that's hurting or is hurting themselves. So let's just, matter of fact, let's just take a minute and just pray for our Santa Rosa campus. Can we do that? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this first day back in our building. And Lord, we just pray that you would regather the saints and pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, we thank you for all of our campuses. Pour out your spirit in this message, Lord. Speak to us and strengthen your people, Father. Thank you for helping Santa Rosa to recover big time, Lord. Thank you for your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to begin a series of messages just for this month of November, four messages where we'll be together on the subject of small things. Everyone say small things. What's in my heart is that some of the greatest blessings that we ever experience are small, or at least they start small. And in a world that celebrates the big and the bodacious and the brawny and the powerful and the epic and the amazing, it's easy to start feeling dissatisfied in life because, you know, every day isn't the 4th of July. Every day isn't a grand slam, home run, World Series victory. Life is mostly small things that are beautiful. And I think as we come to Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays, it'd be right for us to hit the reset button and just kind of refocus on some of the beautiful things that God does in our lives that are small. And I want today to talk about the subject of small faith and the blessing of small faith and how that small faith can really make a huge difference in our lives. In fact, you can write this down, even a small amount of faith in our life makes a big difference. Our scripture for this morning, which I'd like to invite you to read with me, is Matthew 17:20. It's the words of Jesus. Let's read this verse out loud together. Small things. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, God will release powerful things through your life." Talking about small things. A lot of people don't feel that they're maybe giants in faith. I want to encourage you today, wherever you're at in your faith, God can do a miracle in you, and he can do a miracle through you. Wherever you're at, if you just have the smallest, tiniest mustard seed faith. This is what he's talking about. He wants to encourage us. Jesus is saying to us, look, guys, I know you feel you don't have super stature. I know you feel like you're not the greatest ever. But just take that little bit of faith that you have and use it. Believe me with what you have, and I will do miracles in your life. He's encouraging us. He's saying, have faith. Faith is so powerful that just a little bit can experience huge blessings with just a little bit. And there's a principle that I want to try to remind you of. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but here's the principle. Believe a little and experience a lot. Everyone say that. Believe a little and experience a lot. Where you're at right now in your career, in your marriage, in your health, and your financial life, if you would use a little bit of faith, you can experience a whole lot of God's power. And this is really the message of the mustard seed. And Jesus grabs onto this mustard seed, which we're going to be talking about today, and he uses it. It's small, it's powerful, just like faith. Faith may be small, but it still can be powerful. And the mustard seed really teaches us. And not only does he mention it in Matthew 17, but in another passage in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus takes up the subject of mustard seed. So impressed with the mustard seed is he, so stressing that we need to understand the message of the mustard seed, he builds a parable. He tells a story to create a spiritual lesson for us. And this is the lesson that he tells. Here is another illustration that Jesus gave. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest. Everyone say smallest. So small things, right? We're talking about small things. It's the smallest of all the seeds. But what does it become? The largest. The largest of the garden's plants. It grows. There's a process. You know, there's something that gets you from here to there. Like Jesus said in the mountain, you shall say to the mountain that is here, go there. There's something that gets you from here to there. There's something that gets you from the smallest to the greatest, and it's called a growth process. Every single one of us are in a growth process. And this is what Jesus is celebrating. He's celebrating the small beginning. He's celebrating the process of growth that's almost imperceptible. Moment by moment, it may seem like nothing's happening. But you go back over time and say, wow, there's been growth in me. There's been growth in my life. And this is what he's encouraging us about. It's the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make the nests in its branches. It becomes so big that it's able to bring shelter and serve a purpose. What's Jesus getting at here? I believe there are three things that will unlock the parable of the mustard seed for us, and I want to run them down for you. If you got a teaching outline, you can fill in the blanks as you go. The first one is that mustard seeds are small. That's the primary lesson of the mustard seed, and that's our thought for this small things series. Small good things come in small packages. I heard a lady the other day say, oh, I love small gifts. Usually it's those little small boxes, right, where that the best stuff is in, right? So small, powerful things come in small packages, and mustard seeds are small. A mustard seed is only like 1 or 2 millimeters wide, 1/64th of an inch, about the size of a grain of coffee, you know, like a coffee ground, one little fleck, just a tiny little thing there. But even though that mustard seed is tiny, and Jesus called it one of the tiniest of seeds, it becomes huge. It can grow taller than a man. Mustard seed plants can become 20 feet high, 20 feet wide. Just that little tiny seed can produce a massive structure. Mustard seeds are small. But then the other thing about mustard seeds is they have potential. A mustard seed is kind of a potential thing. It's something that carries in it the capacity to reproduce. It's got a DNA reproductive characteristic to it. Even the tiniest mustard seed has the DNA of a gigantic mustard tree in it. And not just another mustard tree on the inside of that seed, but a tree that will produce more mustard seeds. And I want to make an application to your life. Inside of you is the DNA of heaven. You may not think you're the greatest person, you may not think you're a giant or whatever, but I want to encourage you today that you have tremendous potential in your life. That the DNA of heaven is on the inside of you. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've trusted Him, the Bible says you become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and that you are a child of God. You're not just a Christian. You're a child of God carrying the DNA of heaven on the inside of you. That means on your worst day, you have incredible potential. On the inside of you, you're like a seed. Could be hundreds of other believers. Could be an impact that would shape the course of history. Mustard seeds have potential, the ability to reproduce again and again and again. Let me tell you something. You're not nobody. You're not a nothing. You're something in God, and you've got potential. And God is working to bring that potential out. And through that process of growth that you're in, everything that God has mapped out for you is going to take place in Jesus' name. The third thing I want to mention is that not just that mustard seeds are small and they have potential, but they're tough. Mustard seeds are tough. They are strong. Now, over the last few years, we've been in this California drought, you know, and a lot of the cities are encouraging us to plant drought-resistant plants in our front yard, plants that don't need as much water. A mustard seed plant is a drought-resistant plant. It actually thrives in drought. It can grow with just the littlest bit of water. It doesn't need perfect surroundings. It doesn't need everything just so. It's not fussy. It's not temperamental. The mustard seed is capable of flourishing and thriving in difficult soil. And if the plant is so strong that even if it's cut back, watch out, because if you want to get rid of your mustard seed plant, you better cut it all the way down and then pull up the roots, because if you cut it off even at the roots, it'll still grow back. And some of you are here today and you feel like, man, you've been cut off at the roots. You've had attack after attack, problem after problem in your family, but look at you. You're still breathing. Hallelujah. You're still standing. You're tough. You're strong. And Jesus is saying, just that little bit of faith in you releases potential and makes you strong and gives you the ability to overcome. Don't be down on yourself. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you're not a perfect person, but don't be down on yourself, and certainly don't be down on your neighbor, because there's potential in that person to thrive in the worst possible circumstances. You are going to make it. Touch somebody next to you. Elbow them gently and just say, look, you're going to make it. Don't give up, all right? You're going to make it. Just stay with it, all right? Keep in there. Hang in there. Mustard seeds are tough, and they thrive in difficult soil. I pray that you guys will hear what Jesus wanted you to hear in Matthew 13 and Matthew 17. There's something about small things, something about small beginnings, something about even small gifts. Remember, it was the woman who put in, what was it, like a half a penny? And Jesus said, this is the greatest gift that was given this whole day. Don't despise the day of small things, small beginnings. You start where you are and watch what God will do to grow your life. Can I make a few applications here based on these two scriptures? There's three things I wanted to share that I think would bless you and encourage you and strengthen your faith. Maybe like takeaways from the mustard seed parable. The first one is that small faith is so powerful, it can take us beyond our impossibilities. So many of us, I love that song we were singing earlier about the mountains, you know. God, I know you're going to do it again. I've seen this mountain, but I believe you're going to do it again. And I'm telling you, there's a place in God, even for a person who's just struggling with their faith, that person can actually experience breakthrough after breakthrough, moving us past our impossibilities. You know, I was a big fan in the 70s and 80s of a lot of the great teaching that we had in the faith movement. Some of it was a little, everything you would want in teaching, and then just a little bit more, you know, it's kind of like beyond, you know, a little bit beyond. But most of the faith teaching really, you know, really strengthens us. But one unfortunate side effect of the faith teaching movement, in my view, is that it seemed to express the importance of great faith and strong faith, and people kind of got the feeling that the reason they didn't get their miracle, or the reason they didn't have a breakthrough, or the reason they didn't, you know, not drive in a Cadillac or a Mercedes, is because they had a problem with their faith. I want to kind of flip that around just for a minute gently and just remind you that what Jesus is actually saying is, hey, I'm willing to work with just a little bit of faith. I'm willing to do major things in your life. We serve a God who takes a little bit of faith and he conquers the impossibilities. How many of you prayed to receive Jesus? You opened your heart to the Lord and you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wave at me if you've done that. Now, when you did that, were you like a giant in faith? Is that how you got saved? You got saved because you knew the Bible backwards and forwards and you had studied it for 12 years and you were all built up in your faith. No, actually, the greatest miracle in your life was when you were born again. And that happened when you were at the bottom of your faith life. You had just a little bit of faith, but you took one step toward God. You just said, all right, I'll try it. I'll do it. Like that guy in the New Testament, the book of Mark, said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He was honest. I've got some questions. I got some doubts, but I'm going to take a little step of faith, and boom, the biggest miracle that ever took place in your life happened. You know, we're here today dedicating the service to Dr. Don Phillips, one of my heroes, and his wife Ruth Ann is here and his family, and we love you so much, you guys, and we're grieving with you, but we're also celebrating that Don is in heaven today and rejoicing, and we'll be doing his memorial service. And I've done many, 38 years of ministry, I've done many funerals, many memorial services. I've prayed with many families that are weeping, crying, sad, sometimes unsure if their loved one made it to heaven. Maybe because their lifestyle was a little dodgy, or I've had people tell me, well, I don't know if he went to heaven because he just wasn't coming to church. And I'm thinking, man, do we earn our way into heaven by going to church? I think maybe what they're saying is, you know, they weren't living that overcoming, powerful, full potential Christian life. But sometimes it's right there in the room, and just a person just wondering, I don't know if my mother made it to heaven. I don't know if my father, my child, he was backslidden. I hope he didn't go to hell. Then I always try to remind them of what Jesus said, just a little bit of faith. If that person just had a little tiny bit of faith, I don't believe the Lord is looking for a reason to send them to hell. I think he's looking for that little tiny faith. And he says, I see it. There it is. He's on his way. You know, God's a God of mercy. I don't know if you see it that way, but that's the way I read it. We don't get to go to heaven because we came to church faithfully. We had just a little bit of faith. And we trusted the Lord. And sometimes even that honest place of saying, Lord, I believe, but I'm still struggling. And I know I'm not where I need to be, but God, I just pray that you take my faith as it is and do a miracle. And I will tell you, I believe the Lord will honor that prayer more than some pompous religious prayer that's, oh God, I've done all this for you. Lord, I've had perfect attendance. I don't tithe 10%. I tithe 10.5%, Lord, just because that's the kind of person I am. And I thank God that I'm not like those guys that just have a little bit of faith. I've got great faith, Lord. I'm glad today that God is with me in my best days, but he's also with me in my struggle days, in my hurt days, in my depression days, in my shame days. The Lord is there. Well, I'm way off my notes, but I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time? Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? Number one, small faith can take us beyond our impossibilities. Everybody say this, I have faith.
I have faith.
You might not think of yourself as a person who has faith, but Romans chapter 12 says, God has given to every person a measure of faith. You got faith. The DNA of heaven is in you, and that thing is alive, and all hell can't snuff it out. There's a spark on the inside of you. There's an ember. You know that God is real. You know that he's faithful. And you'll have your struggles, and you'll go through your moods, and you'll have your seasons, but you'll know that God is strong and that he's mighty on the inside of you. He's given to every single one of us a measure of faith. And I tell you, there's nothing insignificant about your faith. Don't let anybody put your faith down. Say, well, if you had greater faith, you wouldn't be sick. Well, if you had greater faith, you'd be driving a car like me. Well, if you had greater faith, you wouldn't have a 3-bedroom apartment, you'd have a 5-bedroom house. Don't buy into that kind of transactional faith. Listen, you've got faith on the inside of you, and there's enough faith in you to say to a mountain, move from here to there. I promise you, God is faithful, and he keeps his word. Can I have an amen? So have faith. You have, write this down, you have a God-given capacity to believe for impossible things. And I want to challenge you to believe for something more than you have. I want to challenge you to believe for your whole family to be saved. I want you to believe with me that we can touch 10 cities and even go beyond. Amen? I want you to believe for great things. Why? As long as you're going to believe, let's believe for great things. God is able to do awesome, incredible things, even with a little bit of faith. Amen. Number two, I believe that small faith not only takes us beyond our impossibilities, but small faith is great because it expands God's kingdom work in the world. Small faith is how the kingdom of God operates. This is what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God grows in a certain way. Watch out that you don't miss it, because it starts small but becomes very, very big. Jesus uses the mustard seed to help us understand how the kingdom grows. The kingdom doesn't start big and get bigger. Everybody's looking for the big breakthrough right in day one, you know, like everything's got to happen right in from day one, we're going to be big. That's not how it works. And you'll get discouraged if you're trying to start big all the time. When God does something, he starts small. This is what Jesus is saying about the kingdom. It's like a mustard seed. He said, in essence, the kingdom will start small, but it'll go through that process of growth, and it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow, and it will displace everything around it. You go to the book of Daniel and look at Daniel's prophecy about how the kingdom would start as a tree, and it would just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until it took over the whole world. That's a picture of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is here. He hasn't died on the cross yet when he speaks these words. He's telling them, don't miss how the kingdom works. Because in a day or two, you're going to see me die. In a day or two, you're going to see me buried in a tomb. And then for several weeks after that, it's going to look like not much is happening as people are waiting in an upper room and there's nothing happening. He says, don't miss it. The kingdom starts small. But boy, when it starts, it's powerful. Think about the way the church developed, the way the work of God developed in the world. And let's think about how Jesus was accurate when he talked about the kingdom starting small. The gospel goes kind of like this. Jesus entered into the world in an insignificant way. We're ready to celebrate Christmas here in a month or so. And thinking about baby Jesus being born in a manger, in a stable. That wasn't like a grand entrance. That was a little mustard seed thing. He comes in and he was born out of wedlock. He grew up in a tiny village in Hicktown, Galilee, where the Okies and the rednecks of Israel used to live, the backwaters of Galilee. The Jews looked down on Galilee. They thought it was the end of the world. They thought only the goofballs. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, they said. Jesus grew up in those surroundings. And then Jesus began to teach. He became 30. He came out of the wilderness filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and started to teach on the kingdom. And the Jews, they perked up the kingdom. Because Jewish people were kingdom. They understood David. They understood Moses. They understood the glory days of the kingdom. And so they were looking for their Messiah. So here comes Jesus. They said, is this guy the Messiah? He's talking about the kingdom. Where's the castles? Where's the armies? Where's the logos? Where's the banners? Where's the marketing package? Where's the wow? And Jesus never came with that. And so they started to get frustrated with him. Where's the kingdom? You're talking about a kingdom. He says, don't miss it. It starts real small. But boy, is it powerful. It's like the mustard seed. After a while, they got frustrated with him. We don't see your kingdom. So his own people crucified him. If you're not going to be our king, we're going to pull you down. They crucified him. They said, well, that took care of that. Now, where's our king? 3 days later, the tomb bursts forth. And something that started so small turns into a resurrection turnaround story. Like you can't believe, a turnaround story when it looked like it was nothing and it became something. And I want to prophesy to you, you're discouraged, you're like in a tomb, you're like in a place of darkness and frustration and nothing's going on, and I'm prophesying a turnaround to you. I'm prophesying that you haven't seen nothing yet of what God wants to do. Don't miss what God wants to do. It starts small, but it becomes mighty powerful. Jesus rose from the dead, but brothers and sisters, that was just the beginning of the expansion of the kingdom that Jesus had talked about. The kingdom of God was just starting. Listen to how J.C. Ryle describes the progress of the kingdom. Let me read this paragraph to you, and let's think about Jesus' words of the kingdom and how it starts small and becomes big. It was a religion that at first seemed so feeble and so powerless that it could not live. Its first adherents were a little company, a number probably that did not exceed 1,000 people. Its first preachers were a few fishermen and publicans. Its first starting point was a despised corner of the earth called Judea. But the progress of the gospel, after the seed was cast into the earth, was steady and continuous. In spite of persecution, opposition, and violence, Christianity spread and increased year after year. Its adherents became more numerous. Idolatry withered away before it. City after city, country after country received the new faith. Church after church was formed in almost every quarter of the earth. Preacher after preacher, missionary after missionary came forward to fill the space of those who died in persecution. And in within a few hundred years, the religion of the despised Nazarene had overrun the entire civilized world. The mustard seed of the kingdom, it starts small, but it increases steadily. 1 John 5:4 reminds us that every child of God has the power to defeat and overcome this evil world through the victory of our little, tiny mustard seed faith. Don't feel sorry for Christians and Christianity. The church is unstoppable. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It started small, and maybe you're starting small. Maybe your ministry is starting small. Maybe you see just almost next to nothing of your own potential. But I promise you, don't miss what God wants to do because of a small beginning or a small appearance, because God wants to do mighty things through your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so has the church grown and has it progressed the way Jesus said it would, like a mustard tree? In Witness Essentials, Dan Meyer, the author, lists some statistics of church growth. I just put up a few of these on the board for you so that you can understand something of how the kingdom has progressed. In 1900, just 117 years ago, right? There were no Christian churches, no Protestant churches in the nation of Korea, which we hear so much about today. Today, there are over 7,000 churches just in the city of Seoul alone. A former Buddhist nation, now being overtaken, some of the largest churches in the world are in Seoul, South Korea. At the end of the 19th century, the southern portion of Africa, that whole continent, was 3% Christian. Today, the southern portion of Africa is 63% Christian. Membership in the churches of Africa increases by 34,000 lives every single day. In India, more than 14 million of the 140 million members of the untouchable caste, that lowest caste in that dark nation, a nation so hostile to Christianity, and yet the lowest caste, 14 million of them have become Christians. And God is moving powerfully in India and in nations that never were Christian nations. The gospel is unstoppable in that land. More people in the Islamic world have come to Christ just in the last 25 years than the number of people that came to Christ from Jesus until 25 years ago. Just in the last 25 years, God is showing up with power in Muslim nations. People are having supernatural encounters. People that are lost are having dreams where Isa, the Muslim name Jesus, Isa comes to them in a dream and explains the way of salvation. And their Christians are finding each other in these nations where the gospel is outlawed, and hundreds of thousands of people are coming to Christ in these Muslim nations. God is moving. The kingdom is growing. In China, there are more Christians in China than members of the Communist Party. Can you imagine that? And China will soon be the greatest concentration of Christians anywhere on the face of the earth. Something unthinkable 20, 30 years ago in a communist nation. And now across the planet, followers of Jesus are increasing by more than 80,000 souls every single day. Today, 83 to 85,000 people will give their lives to Christ worldwide. It'll happen again tomorrow. It'll happen again tomorrow. It'll happen again the next day. Every single day, don't you worry about the kingdom of God. This kingdom that Jesus is building, communism won't stop it. ISIS won't stop it. Politicians won't stop it. Pornography won't stop it. All the devils in hell won't be able to stop the kingdom, because that thing started small, but it's been growing and growing and growing, and the work of God in your life is never going to stop. Until one day when this is all over and we've all served the Lord and given our offerings and done everything we're saying, we've received Jesus and we've worshiped God, and then we're in the presence of God. We're in heaven one day, and look what we're going to see according to Revelation 7. A great multitude that no one can number. From every tribe and every nation, all the tribes and peoples and languages, all the languages of the world, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes of righteousness. Come on, hallelujah. The redeemed of the Lord, worshiping Jesus, saying, Lord, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. Your kingdom started small, but it took over. Hallelujah. Praise God, everybody. I want you to have faith. If you're in ministry, hang in there. Stay in the fight. Have faith, hang in there, and stay in the fight, because God is joining you to a place of victory like you cannot believe. Write this down. Have faith, stay in the fight. God is giving us what? The victory. Hallelujah. Here's the last piece of this. I've got to close. I've lost track of time here with all my blustering and boisterous preaching. Last thing I want to say is that small faith will cause your heart to flourish. Small faith will take you past impossibilities. Small faith will cause the kingdom to grow and increase. And small faith will cause your heart to flourish. God will do a good work on the inside of your heart. It's all about your faith growing. It starts small, but it grows as we learn more and more about Jesus. I want you to continue to flourish in your... It's my prayer that every single one of you in all of our campuses and or whatever church you're a part of, that your faith will flourish and grow by the gathering together, by the reading of Scripture, by the uttering of prayers, by all of the things that we learn to do as followers of Jesus to strengthen our faith. Actually, by being in God's house today, you are strengthening your faith. Your faith is growing. You're going to walk out of this room different than when you came in. So I want you to have faith and believe God. And don't be discouraged if occasionally you're like the disciples who Jesus had to say to them. Sometimes he had to say to them, Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots go down in him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will what? Grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It's not always the big things. It's that growth of your faith, that daily Bible reading, that time in prayer. You say, well, I only pray a minute or two a day. I'll take it. Just start right there and let it grow. Well, I just read one chapter every 3 or 4 days of my Bible. I'll take it. Just start there and work your way up, because the work of God on the inside of you is growing. And even with a small amount of faith, you're going to be addressing mountains and moving them from here to there. How many understand what I'm saying today? Your heart is going to be okay. Your spiritual life, if you feed yourself and nurture yourself and strengthen yourself, you stay in God's house and keep yourself in prayer and in the Word, you're going to be strengthened in Jesus. And nothing is going to uproot you or be able to destroy you. You're tenacious. You're a tough little mustard seed. You're strong. The enemy tries to come and cut you back. And maybe it even happens. Maybe you lost your job, or you lost a marriage, or something terrible that you weren't expecting happened. You feel like you've been just cut down to nothing. But I promise you, greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in you. And your best days are yet ahead of you. You stay strong, little mustard seed. Hallelujah. You keep believing God. And if you're in ministry and serving the Lord, maybe it's not the most amazing ministry ever conceived in the heart of man, but you be faithful and you watch how God will use you to transform people's lives. Amen. Just bow your heads. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for small things. Small, mustard seed sized things that give way to great blessings. Lord, I pray for those that are discouraged today because what they see isn't very impressive. Maybe they're struggling with the same problem they've been struggling with for years. Maybe the beginning wasn't great or impressive. Lord, I thank you for how you move in our lives. Start small. Believe a little. Experience a lot. Let that be our testimony, Father. Thank you, Lord. I pray for people that are in dry times, Lord. You've made us drought resistant. But Lord, I pray for the gentle rains of the Holy Spirit just to come and fall like grace and mercy upon the soil of our heart, the parched spaces of our heart, Lord. Just call it like fall like rain on us, Lord. Break the drought. Let us grow and thrive, Lord. Let our faith be so strong in you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you're not really connected with the Lord like you know you ought to be. I'm so glad you came, even feeling like maybe you were on the outside looking in, hoping that maybe the Lord would touch you, help you, give you a word. If you're separated from God because of your sins or your lifestyle, or you just know you need to be in a better place, I believe today could be a brand new beginning for you with just a mustard seed of faith. And if you've never met Jesus Christ, you've never opened the door of your heart to Him, to invite Him into your life, you can do that today. I want to pray for you. If that's you, and you'd like my prayer, and you're in a tough spot spiritually, you're away from God, you want to give your life to Christ, if that's you, just lift your hand wherever you are. Don't be ashamed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just put your hand up, say, Pastor David, pray for me. I need a breakthrough. Yep, I see your hand. Just wherever you are, put it up, and I see you, sir, in the back. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to start over with Jesus Christ. Today's the day for me to take that first step of faith, that little step of faith to trust in Him. Three men raising their hands. I'm going to pray for these men. Every Christian joining me in prayer, we're going to ask God to do a miracle. And wherever you are, if you're watching online or in the cafe, let the Lord touch your heart. Whether you raise your hand or not, God wants to touch you. Lord, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that if any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We open our hearts to you, Lord. We invite you in. Take over our lives, Lord. Wash us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Just right where you are. I just want to invite you as a Christian. Sometimes the thing that we're low on is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now? Just say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let the rain of heaven fall on my life and take my little small beginnings, Lord, my little mustard seed faith. Lord, do a miracle. Water my seed, Lord, right now. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall in every one of our lives, Lord. Let your work, Lord, continue through us, Lord, we pray. Help us to accomplish everything you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that raised your hands, three men giving their lives to Christ, I think we ought to let them know. That's amazing. Wow. Praise God. I want to invite you three that raised your hand and anybody else that's making a decision in today's service, let us know. Fill out that card you heard about earlier in the service. It says, I've decided. Drop that in the offering. The offering's going to come by here in just a minute. We're going to close the service and we're going to have some worship. I encourage you, let us know what God is doing in your life and let us know how we can help you. There's a prayer we're going to put up on the screen. We're all going to say a prayer and then we're going to worship the Lord together. It says, Father God, let's all say this prayer together. Father God, thank you for giving me a measure of faith that can grow as I draw close to you. I ask you to increase my faith and teach me to experience the victory that you've promised me. Thank you for saving me. Say it again. Thank you for saving me and causing me to flourish as an overcomer in Christ's name. Amen. Just stay where you are. The ushers are going to serve us. If you have your Beyond commitments, that's fine. Drop those in. And your cards, your prayer cards. We thank you for your giving. Let's worship for a moment and then I'll come back and pray. Together. We're going to have special prayer. I am going to speak a blessing over you, but I've just been notified that there was another shooting at a Baptist church, this time in San Antonio, outside of San Antonio, 20 dead. FBI is on the scene. Churches are becoming places of violence, and I just want us to pray. Our nation's in a very dark moment, but I do believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Let's pray protection over our lives, and let's pray for the people that are hurting today outside of San Antonio, Texas. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord. Our hearts break when we hear such discouraging news, Lord. Violence and bloodshed and lawlessness, hatred, just abounding in our land, Lord. An attack against people of faith. Father, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Lord. Never wavering in our faith. And we pray, Lord, for the families of those that are afflicted. Whoever they are, Lord, young people, old people, black people, white people, Lord, we ask you just touch them right now, Lord. Comfort them and heal them and get glory out of this situation, Lord. Pray for justice and peace and protection over our nation, Lord. Lord, turn us in a better direction, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, as a country, being so violent and so angry and so filled with bitterness. Lord, forgive and heal our nation, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. So glad you were here. If I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hand. If you need prayer, join us here at the front. You are dismissed with the blessing of the Lord.